want you to just pray with me as we invite the Lord to speak to us. I believe it's so important, the attitude and the condition of our heart when we hear the Word of God. So I'm telling you, it's not just hearing it, but it's retaining it, keeping it until it brings forth fruit in our life. The Word of God is powerful, but it's up to us to receive it, to believe it, and to act on it. So let's pray right now. Father, I just thank you for the Word of God to us today. And I ask, Father, that we would have ears to hear. Lord, that our hearts would be open and receptive to you. And Lord, that this truth of the Word will abide in our heart and bring forth a great harvest in our life. Lord, I pray that strongholds of deception and misconception would come down this morning as the truth of your Word is spoken. And Lord, that you would set us on a path to a brighter future to bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, it is that gift buying, gift making, gift giving, gift receiving time of year. You ever gotten somebody a gift and it seemed like they just didn't really appreciate the full value of the gift? We've all seen an example of that with a toddler. You buy them a nice toy and they want to play with the box, right? It's not an unusual thing, but I got a gift from my son a few years back, and I thought, oh, that's nice. It's a flashlight. Another flashlight. And I don't know if any of you are weird like this, but I had to look online to see how much it was. Anybody else ever? Because I would never do that if you bought me a gift, I'm just saying. But anyway, and it was kind of expensive. I was like, wow, especially for a youth pastor, I know what he makes. But anyway, I was like, man, that's a pretty expensive gift. But more than that, what happened, though, was that over the last couple of years, I have found that I use this gift more than just about any gift I've ever received. It's amazing. No matter what I'm working on, you know, I gather my tools together and I start in, and I end up using this over and over and over. I'm using it underneath the sink, trying to figure out where the leak's coming from. I'm using it when the lights are off because I'm working on an electrical thing. And it just gets used all the time. And I didn't realize how valuable, how great this was. I just use it all the time. Now, the reason I shared that with you is that sometimes we don't really realize the value of some of the great gifts that God has given to us. We don't really realize how powerful, how fantastic some of the gifts that God has given to us, things that matter in our life every day. This morning, I want to talk to you about the gift of righteousness. There it is, that's nice attitude. Yeah, and we don't understand how wonderful, just how much this impacts our life every day. I hope that before this service is over this morning, that you will. So we've been down this road before, and we're going to go again. I'm expecting you to do a little better than the last time. And you understand that this morning we're going to talk about the gift of righteousness. So how many of you are righteous? Hey, that's pretty good. Now, I saw some of you didn't raise your hand at all. I hope that I know how it is, you know. You're sitting next to your wife, or you don't want your kids to see you raising your hand saying, I'm righteous. But I hope that before this service is over that you'll be able to go like this, because I'm telling you, this is a free gift. He has made us righteous. It's something that He has done. It's not pride on our part. No, it's humility acknowledging the gift that God has given to us. You need to know about the gift of righteousness. See, we can be totally free of guilt and condemnation in our life. Listen, Jesus makes it very clear, or the Word makes it very clear in Romans chapter 8, there's no condemnation unto those who are in Christ Jesus. That's us. There's not supposed to be any condemnation in our life. This, how close can we be to God? I'm telling you, it's through the gift of righteousness that we can just walk right into His throne room, to the throne of grace, and obtain mercy. Because He's made us righteous. He's given us this free gift to be in the position to receive every blessing that God has for us. You see, that's what this gift of righteousness provides for us. How would you like to know for certain that there is nothing between you and God? Nothing hindering your prayers. Oh, that's an awesome thing. To know there's nothing hindering your prayers, that He is hearing your prayers. That's what the gift of righteousness provides for us. Now, religion says that if you really want to be close to God and you really want the blessings of God on your life, the key is being good. But the Bible says that it can't be done that way. Romans 3:10 says there is none righteous, no, not one. There's not one. Here's the spiritual truth. There is not one by their own works, by their own righteousness. There's not one. There's not a few, right? There's none by their own works of righteousness. So how can we possibly be righteous? Because it is a free gift. Now, we need to understand exactly what righteousness is this morning. The simplest definition is that it is being right with God. In respect or regard to character and action, it has to do with doing what's right. But what it comes down to for us scripturally is that righteousness means being in right standing with God, that we're right with Him. And that's something that is a wonderful thing, to know that you are right with God, that you're in right standing with Him, that when you go to Him in prayer, you can approach Him as a righteous man, like Elijah did, who prayed powerfully and effectively and changed this culture. How? Because you've been given the gift of righteousness. Sometimes Christians who are saved by grace fall back into a works mentality. You know, we as a Christian, we start doing a little better. We go to church more, and we pray more, and we cuss less and drink less, right? And so we start feeling pretty good about ourselves and, you know, thinking, hey, I'm doing all right. And something else that kind of goes along with that is that we tend to start judging people who sin differently than we do, and or less than, right? Oh, well, I may sin, but I don't do it as much as they do. I mean, they're bad, you know. Okay. And we start thinking different, you know, we slide back into, you see, it can just kind of sneak up on you, where you just kind of slide back into that works mentality, where you think that because you're doing less of this and you're doing a little more of that, and you know, you're doing better, that you start feeling good about yourself and thinking that, well, you know, pride gets in. But you see, it's not just our sins that stink. Isaiah 64 and 6 says, all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. It's not just our sin, it's even our righteousnesses. They're filthy rags before a holy God. It doesn't matter how hard we try, we fail. We can't ever be righteous on our own. So, have you ever sinned? Did you sin this week? Some of you are sinning right now. Just making that clear. And if we sinned, we're guilty of the whole law. Now see, we don't like to think this way. And we always, you know, let me tell you something. Man-made religion will always try to put God on our justice system. And that's the way man-made religion works. And so we may not understand God's justice system and the way that He works, but we have to take it as it is in the Word of God and believe what He says. And so when He says this in James chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he's guilty of all. Now here's what that says, is that here we are, you know, good little Christians in church on a Sunday morning, and we're doing pretty good. I mean, after all, we managed to get here for church. Maybe even put something in the offering and, you know, said praise the Lord during the worship time. And so we're doing pretty good. And we know that there are people out in this world that are doing terrible things. Somebody at your job, somebody that lives next door to you, whatever. Let me tell you something. Before God, we are just as guilty as they are. There's no difference. We're just as guilty. If you stumble at one point, He says you're guilty of the whole thing. You say, well, I don't understand that. I don't like that. You see, but God is so holy. None of us can measure up to His standard of righteousness. We think we're doing pretty good, not doing anything bad. But when you break one part of the law, you're guilty of all of it. So how can we ever be righteous? Romans 3:20 in the NIV, it says, therefore no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law, by trying to be good. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. In other words, the law just showed us how messed up we are. Verse 21, but now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. It's not really a new thing. It's just a new revelation, a new understanding of it. But He tells us very plainly here that the law and the prophets testify of it. Verse 22, the righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. And you know what? That's a powerful little phrase on the end there. There is no difference, because it's to all who believe. You see, Paul said he was the chief of sinners and it was for him. And I'm just telling you that whether we've been pretty good or we've been pretty bad, it is for all. There's no difference. It comes this way to all of us. It is by faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. It doesn't come by doing. It only comes by believing. That's how we receive this gift of righteousness. It doesn't come by doing. I know some people think, is that really right? This is what the Bible says, that it is by faith in Jesus Christ. It's by believing. Now, if you ask most people, how can you go to heaven? You know, who's going to get into heaven? Most people will say, well, you got to be a good person. And this is really strange to me, but even a lot of Christians, you know, maybe not in a service when the pastor's preaching on the gift of righteousness, but when you just talk to people out in public, it's amazing how many people will come up with things like, well, you know, you got to be a good person. You do more good than you have bad. And I, you know, if you've been to very many funerals, you know that everybody's a good person. I mean, it's just that way. But I want you to hear me now. It's not about being good, because you can't be good enough. And the Bible says it very plainly in Romans 3:12. There is none who does good, no, not one. And you might say, oh, but I know some good people. You know, I happen to be pretty good people. But listen, in the standard of a holy, righteous God, there is none that does good. We all mess up. We all make mistakes. There is none that does good. And you know what? I know this message this morning when I'm preaching, it rubs against the grain of a religious culture. But this is the truth of the Word of God. And it will set you free if you get a hold of this gift of righteousness that He has so freely provided for us. Now, we can only be righteous by faith. And Abraham is a great example to us. Abraham believed God and it was counted as righteousness. Genesis chapter 15, the Lord makes this great promise to Abraham, an outlandish promise. Here's this man, he's 75 years old, his wife is barren, they've never been able to have children, and the Lord says to him, look at the stars in the sky, so shall your descendants be. He doesn't even have a child, and he's telling him, so shall your descendants be. Now, what was Abraham's response to this fantastic promise? It's Genesis 15 and 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. And there it is. God counted that as righteousness because he believed what God said. This was before the law. Abraham was made righteous because he believed what God said. We're going to go to Romans chapter 4 and read about the same story, beginning with verse 1. It says, what then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? In other words, according to the efforts of man. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. You see, other people might look at our life and say, oh, wow, you know, you're doing pretty good. Wow, you're a great Christian. But here's the truth, is that we don't have anything to brag about before God. No matter how much good we do, we're not going to impress God by our righteous acts. We don't have anything to boast about before the Lord. And I want you to understand this morning, you see, when we talk about the gift of righteousness and we talk about how that God has made us righteous and we raise our hand and say, yes, I'm righteous, we're not saying something about us like, ooh, look at me. This is not a pride thing. I've seen some Christians fall into this. This is not a thing where we are prideful and arrogant like some kind of Pharisee looking down at other people. I thank thee, God, that I'm not as other men, like the Pharisee said. That's not what this is about. In fact, if you really understand the gift of righteousness, it is a humbling thing because you know that you have done nothing to deserve such a fantastic gift and that it is all God and what He has done. And we never brag, we're never boasting about ourselves, but we're bragging on our God that He has done this and He has made us righteous. I know that in the world around us that they don't understand what I'm talking about, but we sure need to understand it. Amen. We miss so much of what God has for us when we don't really believe and we don't really walk in the truth of the gift of righteousness. Verse 3 says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Notice it was accounted to him. It's an accounting term. It was counted as righteousness. It was put in his spiritual account as righteousness. So what's in your account? Not your bank account, your spiritual account. Are you overdrawn this morning? Are you trying to, you know, pay off some debt spiritually? You know, people do that. They try to do some good, make some sacrifices to pay off for some things that they've done wrong and to make themselves feel better. And here's what we need to understand, though, is it wasn't in Abraham's doing, but it was in his believing that it was accounted to him for righteousness. It's when we believe in what God has done and what God has said that that righteousness is put in our spiritual account. It's accounted to us as righteousness. I tell you, when we really believe, our account is filled with righteousness. Abraham, the father of faith, he leads the way for us. But you know, Abraham didn't always do what is right. You know, he's called the friend of God. And yet, when I read about Abraham, just in what little is recorded about him in Scripture, I see some things this guy did that I would be embarrassed. I wouldn't even think of doing some of the stuff this guy did. I mean, first of all, he's got this beautiful wife, and to save his own skin, he tells this wicked king, yeah, she's my sister, and the king takes her off. No way! And then later, when they're frustrated waiting on God, and Sarah says to Abraham, well, here's our servant Hagar. Why don't you sleep with her and we'll have a child that way? And Abraham's all too quick to get with the program and say, yeah. No way. And this is the guy? This is the friend of God. You see, our human justice system, we say no way. But let me tell you something. On some level, for all of us, it's no way. And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was the friend of God. Amazing truth. James tells the same story. Chapter 2, verse 23, it says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. He was called the friend of God. How'd that happen? Because he believed what God said. It's so important to God that we believe what he says. And Abraham was a friend of God. Now, in the book of James, James makes the point, in fact, it's why he brings the story up, that Abraham had faith with works. In other words, because he believed, it changed what he did. And certainly we need to understand that ours needs to be a living faith, not a dead faith, and that if we really believe, it changes how we live. But we need to understand this, that we're not trying to be righteous by our doing. Instead, because we are righteous, we do right. And when you understand that, it changes things. I'm telling you, that perspective change changes how you live as a Christian. You see, that old works mentality and religious mentality is always trying to do good, trying to be better so I can be, you know, righteous, so I can be close to God, so I can be a good Christian. What if you knew that you were righteous, and because you knew you were righteous, you did good? It says back to Ephesians 2, 8 and 10, it's by grace you've been saved, through faith, not of works. There's no room for boasting. In verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You see, we do good works because he's made us a new creation in Christ. We do righteous things because He's made us righteous. We need to get this. I'm telling you, so many Christians live under a works mentality and they miss a lot of what God has for them. Blessings, answered prayers, promises being fulfilled in their life because they don't really understand the gift of righteousness. I'm going to drop down to Romans 4:13 now. It says, "For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." And here's what I want you to see, that the promise wasn't fulfilled because of his doing, but it was fulfilled in his life because of the righteousness through faith. And so it is for us. So many of the promises of God, the only requirement is that we believe. Now, there are some promises and some blessings with some very clear conditions. But I'm telling you, even those promises, we have to believe. That's what's required. Just like Abraham's promise of many descendants was fulfilled because he believed, so it is for us. Many times, that's the key, and it's accounted to us for righteousness. I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you can live like the devil and be a hypocrite and please God. I'm telling you that you simply can never be good enough with human effort. See, I'm not lowering the bar, I'm raising the bar. It is not enough for us to, in human effort, just to try to do good and try to be better and try to be religious. No, it is when we know that God has made us righteous, that He has made us new creations in Christ so that we can truly live for Him and bring glory and honor to Him. We just believe what He says and we receive by faith. You don't have to be super spiritual. You don't have to pray so many hours. You don't have to read your Bible so many hours. Listen, I'm not saying you shouldn't do those things. You should do those things. But it's not because you've done those things that makes you righteous. The religion of man, wisdom of man, the pride of man will try to talk you out of the gift of righteousness. And that's why you need to renew your mind with the Word of God, with truth from God's Word, so that you can receive it by faith. We just believe, we receive. But for most people in this world, I tell you, it's works and pride and self-righteousness. And you know what goes along with all that? Guilt and condemnation and failure. I tell you, we just need to believe the Word of God. Now, every person in Adam's race, that's all of us, all right, is born a sinner. And there's this disease that's passed down in every generation. It's called sin. Manifests itself in a lot of different ways. You know, alcoholism, they say it's a disease, drug addiction, a disease. People who lie all the time, it's a sickness. You know, they just can't help themselves. Then there's people that steal, kleptomaniacs. They got names for these things, right? Well, they're all just born in Adam's race. Some people just gossip all the time. It just seem like they can't not do it. Some people consumed with lust, how that manifests in our time in pornography. But I just want you to understand, we're all born sinners, and apart from the saving grace of God, that's all we can be. Now, through training and education and discipline, accountability, religion, you can stop certain sins sometimes, but here's the thing, you'll still be a sinner. Now listen to this. From Romans 5:17 in the NIV, it says, "If by the trespass of the one man," talking about Adam's sin, "death reigned through that one man, How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness, there it is, the gift of righteousness, reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. You see, it's because of his obedience that righteousness is available to all who believe. The gift of righteousness. All mankind has been under this bondage of sin, and death reigned and condemnation reigned. But when we receive the abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness, he says, we reign in life. We're no longer under condemnation. We're no longer bound by sin. In fact, Romans chapter 6 says that we have become the slaves of righteousness, no longer slaves of sin. You see, that's why we need to understand this. When God gave us the gift of righteousness, that meant that we could break free from that old bondage of sin and become a slave of righteousness instead. Reign in life. Live like his sons and daughters, knowing that all of the promises of God are available to us, knowing that our Heavenly Father is right there hearing every prayer, knowing that he's with us all the time, that he wants to bless us. That's a supernatural life, an abundant life, reigning in life. Righteousness, a gift. It's a gift. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. All you can do is receive it by believing. This is real important. Romans 5:19, the NIV, it says it this way. Just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. Now, it's real important that we see, he says, they will be made righteous. It's not that God just calls us righteous. He makes us righteous. Now, I want you to understand what I'm saying, though. If God calls something, it's so. Because the one who spoke the worlds into being, his words have power. You see, with Abraham, he called those things that are not as though they were. And I'm just telling you, God calls us righteous. He makes us righteous. Just like through Adam's disobedience, many were made sinners. Now through the obedience of Jesus Christ, many will be made righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are a new creation in Christ. And that new creation that you are, four verses later, it says, for he made him who knew no sin, Jesus, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You see, Jesus took all of our sin. He took all of our sin on the cross. It was all put on his account, all of our sin. This is what we're talking about when we talk about the gift of righteousness. This is what we're talking about when we say, yeah, I'm righteous. Jesus took all of our sin. He became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ. We're not righteous because we've done good. We're righteous because we have a new nature, because Jesus made us righteous. And I want you to hear me this morning. I'm calling you, if you're a born-again believer this morning, I'm calling you righteous because Jesus made you righteous when he took your sins. It's by faith, and it's more than just a label. It is a change from the inside out, a new creation in Christ. But Jesus, Isaiah 53:5, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The price has already been paid. He made a way by his own precious blood for us to be close to God. You know, I believe that the more time that we spend with Him and talk to Him, we hear His voice, certainly the more intimate, the better we know Him. But you need to understand that through the blood of Jesus, there's nothing stopping you from being close to God. Hebrews 10, 19 through 22 says, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, here it is, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. We can draw near because of the blood of Jesus. Oh, how we need to know that because we are righteous, we can come close to Him anytime. We can talk to Him as our friend. We can be His friend. In Romans 10:10, it's a verse of Scripture that's often given, spoken to lost people who need to receive the Lord, but I think we need to hear it this morning. It says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. You need to believe this morning. Just believe the promises of the Word of God. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, how many are righteous this morning? Like Abraham, you're a friend of God. There's nothing between you and your Father. See, when you're righteous, it changes everything. And I want to read to you some of the promises of Scripture that are for the righteous. Now, these, it specifically says the righteous, but you need to know that this book is full of promises and blessings for the righteous. When you're right with God, there's all of the promises of God are yes and amen in Him. They're available to you. Now, I'm just going to read a few, like I said, that specifically mention the righteous. But I got to tell you that apart from the gift of righteousness, when I read these verses of Scripture, I wouldn't go, oh, that's me. Would you? I did know one guy one time who told me he never sinned. Most of us are smarter than that, though. But because I know that it is a gift, that it is because I believe that He accounts it to me for righteousness, I know these are for me. And I'm telling you, they're for you this morning. Psalm 5:12. You, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. I tell you, God's favor is on your life. There's a shield of protection around you because you're righteous. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. See, we all go through difficult times, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. I like that little word at the end, all. The Lord delivers him out of them all. Psalm 37:25, I've been young, now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his descendants begging bread. See, that's a blessing of provision upon you and your children. Proverbs 20:7, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. See, you don't have to do everything perfect as a parent. I'll tell you what you need to do, though. Walk in your integrity and realize that God has made you righteous and your children will be blessed. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no one pursues. What a terrible way to live, just to live in fear all the time, never knowing when you're going to get caught, never knowing when trouble's going to come. But the righteous are bold as a lion. We don't have anything to fear because we know we're right with God. We know God is for us. He's not against us. Proverbs 10:6, blessings are on the head of the righteous. That's way better than curses, I'm just saying. Proverbs 12:7, the wicked are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous will stand. Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Wow. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. When you pray, and you know that because you believe you're righteous, God hears your prayer. You don't have to wonder, is my prayer getting through? He hears the prayer of the righteous, just like he heard that righteous man Elijah when he prayed. And because of Elijah's powerful prayers, God impacted that culture. I'm telling you, as righteous people, we can pray and see God move in our land. He hears the prayer of the righteous. Proverbs 24:16, for a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again. It won't get you down. You just keep getting back up. And I want you to hear me. The enemy of your soul will try to convince you that you are not righteous. Try to make you feel ashamed, make you feel guilty that you could have raised your hand and said you were righteous on a Sunday morning. But I want you to know that he always lies against what God has said. And he is the accuser of the brethren. He will always try to tear you down and keep you from believing. Try to keep you from a place where you can stand before God and know that your Father hears you. He wants you to feel guilty and condemned so that you won't think that God would do anything for you. You see, that condemnation undermines faith, keeps people from being able to believe and receive from God. But you just got to keep your eyes on Jesus, the one who paid the price for you, the one who was good enough, the one who does deserve it, because he took your sin and gave you his righteousness. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy. That's how all this trouble started in the garden with Adam and Eve. Don't listen to him. He's a liar. And I love this verse from Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. See, it's not even just a New Testament thing. There it is in Isaiah 54:17. Their righteousness is from me. That's what the Lord said. Your righteousness is from the Lord. It is a free gift. What a wonderful gift. Something that we walk in every day. Something that impacts our prayers, our believing, what we do for God, everything. He made a way for us to be close to him, for us to walk in righteousness, for us to represent him in this world. He made us righteous. I want you to stand with me. We're going to pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to come. Oh, my Father, Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves. You know all of our weakness and frailty, our mistakes, our sins. And yet you love us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You made the way. You made the way for us to be close to you. You made us righteous. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray this morning for the one that doesn't know you, that today they will come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, for the one that's backslidden and away. I pray, Father, that today they'll find their way home. And I pray, Father, for the many who have been under a cloud of guilt, condemnation, struggling, striving, and always failing. I pray, Father, today the truth sets free. They'll find victory in you this morning. And Father, I pray that this morning that each and every one of us would live with thankful hearts, giving glory and honor to you and you alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. As we dismiss our service this morning, I want to encourage you to come for prayer. If you're that person that's never really made Jesus Lord of your life and received His forgiveness, I want you to know that God loves you and He wants a close relationship with you, and He has provided the way through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus has already paid for your sin. Believe and receive His forgiveness. Let somebody pray with you this morning to receive Jesus into your life. And some of you here this morning, as I prayed a minute ago, I know that you're struggling with this or that. It's time for you to let God do a work in you. Come and let somebody pray with you. Whatever need you may have come with today, whatever your prayer request might be, I want you to realize that promise I read at the end there. Listen, He hears the prayer of the righteous, and you are righteous. And you see, whatever it is that you're praying about, you need to understand, it's not an arrogant thing. No, it is a humbling thing that God has made you righteous, and you can come to Him as righteous, and He hears your prayer. So if you need prayer for any reason, I encourage you to come. Let somebody pray with you as we dismiss. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.